And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 23rd, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode number 24. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show, everybody. Unbusy the phones there. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links. To get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Cam. You can go to twitch.tv to watch us live if you would like to do that. Search In-Game Chat when you get to Twitch. Go to our website and just click on the link. It's the fastest way to do it. You can also join us on Discord as well. We've got Discord pulled up so you can talk to us online. And join in the chat room on Twitch or on Discord and just chat with us live while we do the show. So anyway, welcome in, everyone. Gonna use the board here before I forget to use the board. Anyway, here we go.
Clap, clap.
Yeah, the weather's lifted up here. Not to say that it won't do anything, because it wasn't doing anything last night. We still lost power here. This is better. If it was doing what it was doing, what, 15 minutes ago, while we started, I'd have been, just in case, I might have to ditch. So, carry the show, RJ.
Good luck with that. Yeah, I have a track record when it comes to that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I try not to, but when you're the only one here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
When you're the only one in the building, it sometimes happens that way.
Yep.
So, hey, what's new with you? What's going on? Anything new, gaming-wise or other?
Well, I don't know if it's new, but I'm just getting back into it. There was a sale on PlayStation Network recently.
Okay.
So I picked up the expansions that I didn't have for Destiny 2.
Oh, hello.
So I picked up...
speaking my language.
So I picked up Beyond Light and The Witch Queen.
You're all caught up then.
Well, not really. I mean, I'm just starting the story mode for Beyond Light.
Beyond Light's a very long... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
It's especially long if you want to unlock all your stuff for Stasis, which is the new power thing you get.
Ice. Basically.
Yeah.
Just ice.
What are you running? Titan?
Titan, yeah. So I'm making walls and doing these dashing melee blows that really... aren't really effective to me anyway. Well, it just started. Like you said, I got to build it up first. But the longer I use it, the more I'm missing Void, because Void had all the stuff that I needed right in there.
Trust me, you'll be fine. Because, see, you've got to go... See, Stasis was the first... That was a brand new power, brand new expansion. So it had all of these like fragments and aspects and all these things that go with it to build out how your character plays.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after they did that, the next season was like, okay, we're going to do the same thing that we did with Stasis, but we're going to do it with Void now, which they did.
Yeah.
And now, with the new season, they said, okay, we're going to do the same thing we did with Stasis and Void, and we're going to do it to the solar aspect now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, solar is, like, the thing right now. But Stasis is great, and you get through that. You probably won't use it again once you get back to Void and work on that. But, but yeah, and then once you get to solar, you won't work on it again. Next season, I suppose, is when we're going to get the arc... rework.
Yeah. But I've been using Void ever since I started the character.
Well, yeah.
I've had little bits of soul in here just basically for missions and whatnot. But every time it's over, I just go straight back to Void.
Yeah, with the right build, with the right kind of build, Solar Titans can
Yeah, hammers all over the screen.
They can withstand anything. They are almost immune. Especially when you get into the PvE stuff. Not PvP. Anytime I talk about this, I'm really not talking about PvP. Mainly talking about just the main campaign story and all the stuff you do as a single player type thing. Not player versus player, but the other aspect of that. So, that's I don't main a Titan. I main a hunter who warlocks and Titans have really had it. And people who play these characters will probably disagree with me, maybe, but they've really had it well. They've really had it good from Stasis on through to even the solar thing. They've had it good. Hunters have some things that are good, but as far as just survivability, man.
Well, no, they've always been agile but fragile.
Yeah, Titans and Warlocks.
That's basically in a nutshell what hunters are.
Yep,
they can dish it out. Glass cannons, I think they call is the term.
Basically, I become support more than anything else because I can go invis quite often and for a good amount of time, which can help to res people whenever they die.
Yeah.
So I become kind of a support character in that regard. But no, it's all right. If you keep hitting that nail, you'll eventually get into some stuff that's fun to play and makes you feel like a Titan, really, where you can just blow through anything, So,
the issue that I've got into is basically the same thing I had when I last played Destiny, the legacy items.
What was the price on those expansions?
Let's see, Witch Queen was, I think 50%. I think they're both 50% off, really. 50 or 40% off, something like that. So the total for both of them was around, after tax, about 40.
Okay.
Yeah, so I
both
got...
Both campaigns, yeah, 40 both bucks? Campaigns, that's not bad.
Yeah, so I
not
got...
Not bad at all.
But like I was saying, the only problem I'm having right now is still a reminder of legacy items that I can't upgrade anymore.
Right,
it's over and done with. I can't use them anymore. So I had to clean up my vault, stuff that I couldn't use. I tried that synthesis with Ada 1 in the bottom of the tower, but it wasn't what I was looking for. I mean, it didn't do what I was do what I wanted. Like, there's a helmet that I have that I've been pretty much attached to, the Carrick Type 2, but it's a legacy item.
Yeah, you can't upgrade it.
Can't upgrade it at all.
No.
So I'm looking for a new helmet. But weirdly, all the other parts of my armor are... fine. They're not legacy. Or if they were legacy, someone else was selling the exact same thing that I could upgrade. So
possibly.
I don't get it.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it was the Terraforma chest plate that I had. It was a legacy item, so I couldn't upgrade it no more. But I went to Ada. Actually, it was Ada. Ada was selling the entire Terraforma set that I could upgrade.
Probably the revamped versions.
Yeah, so what was the point of... turning it out like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, my favorite scout rifle, the Song of Justice 6.
No, that's...
Can't upgrade
no,
it.
That's, no, no.
But I'm still going to keep it. Everything else I got rid of, but I'm keeping that.
Go ahead, keep it.
It's still my
favorite. It's still viable in PvP.
Yeah.
When you play against...
Yeah, but I don't play PvP.
Yeah,
though.
I know you don't.
I'm not a PvP guy.
I know,
guy, so.
I know. But it's viable there if you wanted to.
Look, I can still shoot across the screen, so yeah. Which is weird for a Titan, but still, they're like specializing up close and personal, but... You can shoot clear across the map and run in with a Ward of Dawn whenever you need to. I'm good with that. So it took me a minute to realize that I had to go back into my settings to change that, because it used to be where you could do either or.
Yeah,
it was like, didn't matter. You had to you didn't have to set it. Now I have to set it.
When did you play? When did you get on?
Yesterday and the day before.
What time? What time?
Usually late at night.
Oh, late at night.
Later
okay.
at night.
I was gonna say,
because your work schedule, you have to be up here crack of dawn. So
I
during the weekday, so
yeah.
you're not doing the late at night thing during the week.
No, I don't do the late at night thing. I do the morning thing.
Yeah.
And by that I mean like this morning, got up at 6:45, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which for me is sleeping in, by the way.
Yeah.
For anybody who's curious about that, people who get up at the times that we get up, getting up at 6 is sleeping in. Got up and took the dogs out and then got on the elliptical,
mm-hmm.
knocked that out. So It's like 8 o'clock, I jump in the shower, get done 8:30, boom, I'm on playing Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing Destiny for, you know, all the way through up until, what, 12:30, 1 o'clock, whenever I decide to,
yeah,
you know, get dressed and get and leave the house and come up here. At least on Saturdays, anyway. Sundays can be different. During the week, I'll come home and I'll exercise. And then when I'm done exercising and taking care of the dogs, I'll sit down for a little bit, do some grindy stuff, and then, you know, and then be done. And
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Yeah.
Go off to the bedroom and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to play. I like to be done playing by 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to even make it to 7. I try to be done by like 6:30 if I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get done at 6:30, take care of the pets, do anything else that needs to be taken care of. And that way, you know, I'm in bed by like 7, got to kind of, you know, come down off of playing a game or something like that, depending on the kind of game I play.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it's something like Destiny or something where I'm, you know, really alert or whatever, that's fine. If it's a game like Unpacking or, you know, something that is very calm and zen-ish and
yeah.
just sort of not high stress, I suppose. I don't consider Destiny high stress. But anything, it doesn't elevate my nerves.
Yeah.
Then, sure, I'll sit there and play something, mm-hmm. you know. But for the most part, I try to be done during the week by that time.
Yeah.
So, like tonight, I'll go home and I'll edit this video. And then at 8 o'clock, I'll jump on with the guys. We will run the boss checkpoint for the end of the raid thing, which is where your exotic has an opportunity to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Once you kill him, there's a chance. And mm-hmm. every time you don't get it, your chance of the next time increases by a little bit. So every time it doesn't drop for you, the next time you run it, there's an increased chance that it might do so. And it just continues to stack. So eventually you will get it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to run it many, many times, but you'll eventually get it. So like tonight, so 8 o'clock, we'll jump on, we'll do that, and then that's it. I won't play again until tomorrow morning, you know, running through the grind of their little solstice event that's going on right now.
I had no interest in doing this. I haven't really had interest to do any solstice events, really.
That's perfectly
fine. I see what's offered.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Don't worry about it.
Nothing's in there. It's like Iron Banner. Iron Banner got to a point where there's nothing in Iron Banner that could even interest me in playing that. So the PvP aspect, really couldn't get into that at all.
Yeah.
So basically with Destiny, I've been doing really the main campaign, the story elements and things like that.
Do that, yeah.
Like,
do that.
I didn't realize how bad Clovis Bray was in the universe when he was experimenting with those folks.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the dead Exos.
Yeah.
And then seeing the stories they had.
Did you meet Big Exo Head?
Yeah, I saw him before. I saw him before, but I didn't get the missions to look for him yet. I mean, I saw him, but then I got the mission afterwards to go talk to him.
I hate Big Exo Head. I'll tell you why I hate Big Exo Head, because I don't like big, giant things.
Mm-hmm.
They give me a little bit of a, mm-hmm. I get a little scarred
mm-hmm.
when I see, even in gaming, that effect. We were talking about this on the show during the week. Because my megalophobia came up again, because we were talking about, I think we were talking about the Christ the Redeemer, the statue in Rio,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah.
So we were talking about different statues of Jesus all over the world and the different sizes and that sort of thing. And there's like a really, really, really big one in Portugal, maybe?
Hmm.
Paraguay? I can't remember. I want to say it starts with a P, but that doesn't really help. Mm-hmm. Anyway, massive one. And so I was looking at pictures, and I was like, man, this is – even looking at these pictures gives me that feeling. And so mm-hmm. I explained what that was, that whole, like, it's large – and I don't want to say large objects like, oh, that's a really big truck. No. Like, massive, massively large. It's like walking up to a skyscraper, the tallest skyscraper that you can find – in your city, walking right up to it and then tilting your head up and looking straight up, and I get this dizziness sensation.
Mm.
This weird kind of, and I don't like such stomach drops, you know, you get that
so
feeling.
Looking at tall things makes you...
I say looking at tall things, but I guess it's more... it's more of an effect when it's something that should, like if I see a big tall building,
yeah.
I've seen big tall buildings. If I get close to those big tall buildings, I just try not to look up and I'm okay.
Hmm. I think it's called Christ the Protector.
Is it the one where his arms are all out? It's yeah. not. It's not the tall, Rio
it's,
thing.
It's taller than Rio de Janeiro's most famous
yeah.
monument.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's located in Encantado in Brazil.
I was completely wrong then. I thought it began with a P.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. So yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't affect me in that way, but it does in video games. If my character is going up against a man, that's oddly enough one of my favorite games is Asura's Wrath, mm-hmm. which really throws that this is how big things can be type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Katamari doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe because of the cartoonish look to it or something. I don't know.
You haven't played a lot of Demon's Souls. You haven't played Demon's Souls at all, but you've seen the game in action.
Yeah.
One of the biggest size differences is Tower Knight.
Mm-hmm.
You got your little squishy.
Yeah.
Character, and you have this huge, giant, armored knight, shield and mace, taking up this huge area, and you have to fight that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's another thing. Shadow of the Colossus did not affect me in that way either.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was a third person, right?
It is.
It's not first person.
No, okay. You're right. Yeah. It's not. And maybe that's the characteristic about it. First person, third.
But you couldn't do that really in first person, though, could you? You need to actually see the entirety of the fighting sometimes.
You need to for the game, but
yeah.
not necessarily for the way it affects me.
Mm-hmm.
The other example I have is that on the Quest VR, there's a thing with Iron Giant where, mm-hmm. like, you're standing at the foot of him and you know, he's walking with you or whatever, but you're that close. I couldn't do it. I kept my eyes shut. I couldn't do it.
Mm.
I could not. It messes with my vertigo. I guess.
Mm, okay. Mm.
I like them. I think they're cool. I love massive. I actually enjoy kind of looking at the pictures and getting that sensation. It's easier for me to do so sitting here, but like if I were actually go to one of these places,
yeah.
mm-hmm. it makes me a little queasy.
How about Mirror's Edge? Did that affect you any?
No, it didn't affect me at all.
VR?
I didn't play it in VR,
mm-hmm.
but VR, as I mentioned, that VR thing with an Iron Giant, that yeah. did affect me. So VR should have that effect. It's immersive, so I could understand why it would.
Yeah.
VR is trying to put you there into that space, and so to be there in front of some of these massive things. Yeah. There was a drone. There's some video of a drone getting shots of some of these other massive statues around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to watch those. It's thrilling and exhilarating because it's like, oh, this is a really cool shot. But as soon as you get a reference of just exactly what you're looking at, how large that is,
mm-hmm.
throws me off, really throws me off.
Mm.
So, yeah. But I'm always impressed by the sense of scale that I can get out of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way that animation or film or even video games, anything like that, has to provide a sense of scale of here's just how big this thing actually is,
mm-hmm.
And showing you that. I'm always fascinated by it. But, yeah, I guess it's a weird little thing.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, you're doing the Destiny thing. What else?
Yeah, I've basically been doing that because I'm wrapped up in the story trying to see all the aspects of what's been going on with all the characters and the new folks that I'm seeing in the expansions.
Yeah.
I haven't even touched Witch Queen yet. Like I said, I'm trying to get everything I can out of
right.
Story-wise, yeah. out of Beyond Light.
Go for it. Yeah, mm-hmm. do that. And then when you do move to Witch Queen has a very good story.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Enjoyed it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely do that.
Yeah, well, I need to find another helmet and a scout rifle. So you got any suggestions for the scout rifle? I'm still going to keep my Song of Justice, but
do you want
eventually the power is not, it's not going to, it ain't going to hang anymore.
If you want a scout rifle, Dead Man's Tail is a good one, but that's an exotic. So you may not want that.
Can't use it because I'm using Hard Light. Hard Light is where I get my energy from.
Right.
Having all the energy available, I've never took it out that spot. So I need solar, I got solar. I need arc, I got arc. I need void, got it.
Yeah.
The only thing I wouldn't be able to use is
stasis.
Stasis, yeah, really.
Stasis only pops up on your primaries.
Yeah. I've seen auto rifles use it, but
on your primaries is where your stasis shows up. I don't think it shows up on anything else. It shows up on your heavy too, but I don't think it shows up in the whatever that middle slot.
Oh yeah,
that
reminds me too. I got another heavy weapon. I've had a curtain call because it had that scatter effect. The initial explosion, then the scatter bombs blow up too. That did a lot of area of effect damage. Mm-hmm. So I need to find another one that does that, or if curtain call is available again.
Curtain call is available. Maybe not curtain call, but there are others that are similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of the names of them right now.
Or if just luck into one that has that same effect, because the weapon effects are like random whenever you pick anything up anyway. So it might be something on there.
Eventually, give it a shot of switching off hard light, because again, another exotic rocket launcher is Galahorn, and that has cluster bombs tracking. It's really, really good, but it's an exotic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So is curtain call, man.
Oh, is it? Curtain call is exotic?
No, it's not. No, it's just it's good.
Oh,
it's
not
exotic.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm trying to say. It's not exotic. Yeah. I didn't have to take up that slot doing that.
No, I got you. You want to stick to the way you're playing, and that's perfectly fine. You should.
Mm-hmm.
You should. You should play. Say this all the time. You should play the way you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
May not be the most efficient way of doing things. But if it works for you, then it doesn't matter what it does, because it works for you, and so it should work for you. I get tired of we get into this debate every year with Destiny, because they'll make changes, and they're changes that mainly force you to play their way, the way that they want you to play, and not necessarily the way that you want to play. But they often talk about how we designed a game so that, you know, you can just go out there and just do whatever you want to do and just make it your own. And they talk about how they're putting the control into your hands so that you can just enjoy the game the way you want to do it. And it's like, well, yeah, but you're not giving me that option to enjoy it the way I want to do it if I have to use this specific gun on this mission, or, you know, any other kind of little thing that they throw in there.
Yeah,
when they throw
bounties
in,
and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, not just bounties. Champion mods, all these other things that you have to slot into weapons, and only certain weapons are able to do certain things. And so it doesn't... this is why I have 500 and some odd things in my vault, because...
You're about to run out of space, ain't
you?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I'm glad they upped it to 600, but this is why there's so many things in my vault, because there's just... It's a lot to do. Ben Bryan says there's another Jesus statue in Poland. That's the one that I was thinking about,
mm-hmm.
or at least the one that I had seen. So let's go to the phones real quick before we got to take a break. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, Soldier Boy. I got a question, Jay.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, have you seen the movie, or you heard anything about the movie Nope?
I have not. I know it's out. I think it came out this week.
Does it interest you, catch your imagination a little bit?
It does. I'm interested in it. I have enjoyed Jordan Peele's previous movies.
I have too.
Yeah, the Get Out and Us. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I watched Us 3 or 4 times. I still didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't get Us?
I mean, I didn't get the what the deal with the parallel people and why they were killing, or were they trying to take over?
Yeah, man. I'd have to go back and watch it again. It had something to do with that whole Hands Across America or whatever it was. Did you watch? Did you watch
no,
Us?
No, just read real reviews and things about that. But it's something about that being the mirror. Something deep within that comes out, or something like that.
Yeah, I know. Like, there's a whole underground of people.
I don't think I've met anyone who got it on the first watch.
No.
I don't think I met anyone who did that.
I watched it 2 or 3 times. You know, another director. I'm starting to watch movies by the people that write them and who direct them.
Usually that's a good... That's not always good, but yeah.
Who's that guy that did The Village?
Oh, M. Night. M. Night, yes.
M. Night Shyamalan.
The Lady in the Water was great. The one he did about the devil in the elevator was great. What was it? Did you see the last one he had out called Old?
Old, yeah. I ended up watching that, yeah.
Did that make the pharmaceutical company look like a bunch of hypocrites at the end?
I really enjoyed it. It was a little weird, but I went in not knowing exactly anything of what it was going to be about, and then, you know, I had to figure it out as it played out, and I thought, okay, so this is it. All right, that's fine.
I think he's a great producer and a great writer.
He's got some show on Apple TV. I can't remember what it's called. Servant, I think.
He's a new Rod Sterling, man. I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely.
Of that era, you know. But you know, the movie. I love that village. Everything you thought when you first watched it, you're like, oh, it's back in the 1600s, you know, and this, and then they hop over that fence.
Yep.
Pickup truck rolls up. I'm like, what the hell?
Uh-huh.
And that's so deep in the sense that. Here's a multi-billionaire, you know, that had created and wanted to not have all the problems of modern, you know, history and stuff and crap and inventions and just live times back in the simple times with the rules and their laws and everything, you know, to buy that piece of land and have it that way and live your life that way.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, but I think. But I'm going to go see it first thing, either Monday or Tuesday. I'll let you know. Do you plan on seeing it?
Maybe. I mean, obviously, I do plan on seeing it. I just don't know if I'll see it in the theater or see it later. I don't know. But okay. I do plan on watching it eventually.
All right. I wanted to touch base with you because I know you guys talk about sci-fi sometimes.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling.
Appreciate it, dude.
Later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
If you want to get in, 334-272-9228. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I don't even need to talk about what I played. It was just Destiny. That's it. So there's no point there. This is music from a game that has been showing up on Steam. Well, I say showing up on Steam. I needed music. I needed songs. I went to Steam. I sorted by top sellers or whatever, different things that they've got there. And this one showed up, and it looked like I was like, I've not heard of this. I don't know. Let's go see if there's music. Oh, there's music for it. All right, great. And then I started seeing it pop up in... my news feeds and stuff was like, hey, this is doing pretty good on Steam. It's a game called Dinkum.
Okay.
D-I-N-K-U-M. Dinkum. Looks like it's a, not a city builder, but whatever. What would those be called that are farm builder things or something like that?
What, farm simulator?
Yeah, not farm simulator, but kind of like Stardew Valley, kind of like those sort of things. Hmm. Where you move into a town or, you know, My Time at Porsche, stuff like that. Mm. Little games that do those things. But anyway, this is called Rainy Day from the game Dinkum. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance 2, Bloodmire Manor, I think is the name of that one, is what it's called. I don't know. Again, it was on Steam, and so, yeah. Let's see. Duke Fruchum had mentioned that Dinkum was like a dig boxer or a scavenger game type of thing. Like I said, I haven't really looked into that game, but seems to be getting some attention on Steam there.
Yeah. I think the official site says the life simulator town building game. So I guess that covers it, I guess.
Well, that makes sense. Move this here as I go. Okay, cool. All right, going through the news here, let's see. We got a video for The Last of Us that is getting released on PlayStation 5. Everything that they have added new in the game. The only thing I remember, obviously, the visuals are upgraded there and look pretty good. I've seen some of the comparisons there. They look nice. But they've added a permadeath mode, I believe, in the game. If you want to play that, you know, if you're down for that. I don't know the aspect of how it works, you know. I mean, obviously, permadeath is permadeath, but I don't know how their permadeath works compared to other permadeath.
What's the difference between that and just starting over when you die in the game? There's got to be something to it,
right? I don't know.
Yeah,
so. I don't know. There's a whole trailer that talks about all the different things that they have added into this version.
Are they still calling it a money grab?
I think there's plenty of people who are. I mean, obviously they aren't calling it a money grab, but I think there's certain people who probably look at it that way.
Because it's still the sticking point is still that price for the game.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I guess is it full? 70, did they announce the price?
It was announced it was a full price game. That's why people were talking so poorly about it and calling it a money grab.
Wow. Duke says that might be the game that gets him to buy a PS5 finally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you get there, let me know.
Yeah,
you're on a PS4 though. I think he's got a PS4.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I don't know. It's not sure. It looks great, but I'm not gonna.
No. I mean, I get it because I think I'm in the same boat as you are because I've played the game from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And I've played the game strictly for story and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So. I liked the first game and all, but not so much that I would buy it again on a different system to play the exact same story.
That's the thing. I just don't think there's anything there for me to come back to.
I know the story, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It's perfectly fine that they're doing it. I'm glad they will because eventually.
Because some people still have not experienced playing through Last of Us before.
Eventually, it'll be down to like $5 and I'll buy it.
Yeah,
or it'll come with PlayStation Plus or something like that.
Yeah.
Duke says that his PS4 is in his closet, 100% on Steam at the moment with his Steam Deck. Yeah, man, I passed up on the Steam Deck. I had my invite last week, and I decided not to go through my purchase.
Yeah,
decided to cancel my invitation. Decided to cancel my opportunity to purchase a Steam Deck. You know, we talked about it on the show. I sussed it out on the show, figuring out how I would like it or how I wouldn't, and just thought. It's just not the thing, man. I have a Switch, and I see how much I play that, and I get it. The games I have on the Switch are different than the games that I have on my PC. I totally understand that. But given the amount that I play with a handheld regardless, I just didn't see it being anything that would be beneficial for me at the moment. So, I passed on it. Will I look again at it later? I'm sure. I haven't had a lick of regret.
Mm-hmm.
By passing on it. I don't feel like other people are wrong for buying it at all. Not one bit. It's changed your gaming habits, I'm sure. You're also like a dad with a kid. So, which is not to say that I'm sure your gaming habits changed. When you became, you know, a father. Probably changed when you became a husband. Then again, when you became a father. And the Steam Deck probably fits pretty good into that life for you. But it's not there for me yet. Mm. Not there. And I'm kind of looking forward to hopefully they do something else with it. You know, hopefully do a version 2 later down the line. I hope so. Again, we don't know that. We haven't seen any indication from them in the past that they will. But I just feel like they will.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they will. I think the response, I guess the reception on this has been great. And I think they will do some revamps of it. Possibly. I don't know. Valve's weird. Valve is just, they're strange sometimes with what they decide to do. Mm-hmm. And what they decide not to do. And what they decide to just kind of leave hanging. What else did we get? We got a new trailer for Gotham Knights. This one was some Batgirl gameplay. I was like, all right, I'm okay. I don't know where I sit with Gotham Knights anymore. I was clearly against it when I first saw it, or at least not against it, but it just was not appealing to me.
Yeah.
And then I saw some of the combat and some of the gameplay, and I thought, well, some of that appeals to me, but most of that still doesn't. Then I saw the Batgirl stuff, and I was like, okay, we're still there. It's not appealing to me, but we'll see how this whole thing shakes out come, I guess, October when that gets released. By the way, for PlayStation owners, I guess that includes you, Duke, even though your PS4 is in the closet. Apparently, the Infamous Second Son DLC, which was hard to find originally, I guess. Anyway, it's available for free now on the PlayStation Store. I don't know if it got pulled and then it got put back on or what the case was, but hey, it's free content and you can download it off the PlayStation Store. So go ahead and enjoy.
I don't think I even have that game. I got Infamous 2, and I stopped at that point.
Yeah.
I didn't play anything else after that.
I'm surprised Second Son isn't part of the, the PlayStation Plus stuff.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, I'm surprised you never had it. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I had opportunity. I just couldn't, I guess I couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. I guess it didn't pull me in as like the first two did.
Yeah.
Because Infamous was something I had a lot of fun with. Just it came out in 2014.
Second Son I did not have a lot of fun with. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it followed the same, it was one of those same situations where the most fun stuff was held at the end, and so you rarely got a chance to use it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you progressed your character with these powers and stuff, and every time you kill a boss, you get some of your powers back. Mm-hmm. With some new abilities and things like that. But by the time you max it out to where you can really get that superhero feel to it, or where you can get like, hey, this now feels like this feels organic. This feels the way it's working, how it's supposed to be. But by the time you got there, game's over.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the way I played it, I didn't strive to get all those pips at the top of the screen, get those meteorite fragments. I got the six of them, because one of the powers that I got that was really beneficial to me, I think it was like a lightning bomb, basically.
Yeah.
It took like maybe three or four units to use, and it was so effective, I just stuck with that. And I kept using my other little powers here and there. But with six pips, all I had to do was just like go to a pole or a car, shoot it with enough electricity enough times, and while it was charged up, drain the energy off of that. And bam, I'm full again at six pips.
Mm-hmm.
So I could use it over and over and over again. So I just got tired of grinding for meteorite parts and just kept going through the entire game that way. And I went through fine.
So I can't remember how I played the game. I don't remember. Yeah. I do remember what it felt like at the end, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember the objectives. I don't remember your powers. I don't remember how you got abilities. I don't remember any of that. I do remember an Infamous, the first game with the electricity and stuff like that.
First game. That's what I'm talking about.
First game. Oh, okay. I was thinking the Second Son. I don't remember how Second Son played.
So it really didn't leave an impact on you. Just
did it feel
bland or just same old, same old?
I can't remember. I really can't remember. It was a launch title for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So whatever year that was, but I cannot remember. I remember playing it, but I don't remember the mechanics of here's how you build up your energy abilities, or I don't even remember what those abilities were.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I wonder if it was the character interesting enough or whatnot to keep your attention, really. Because if you don't remember, then.
No, I don't.
Yeah, because Cole in 1 and 2, I had interest in. It was a very interesting character to me to play through.
I don't remember. I remember some of Infamous, the first one, and I remember some of the second one because it took place in like Louisiana or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, oh, what else? I remember playing it on the good side all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, and I remember hopping around and getting up to higher elevation, and but I don't, it's a lot of that I don't remember. I don't remember the story. You know, I don't remember how.
Second Son?
I don't remember Second Son or Infamous' story. Okay. I don't remember how any of these people got their abilities or powers or whatever it was. I don't remember any of that. Mm-hmm. And
not even the twist in the first one?
I don't remember the twist.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. I do remember it had one, but I do not remember what the specifics was. Mm-hmm. If I were to play it again, it would probably somehow you know, ring some bells, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, this is what it's doing. Mm-hmm. But no, right, like off the top of my head right now, no, I can't. Duke's in the Discord there, but he's muted for some reason. So we'll see if he can, we'll see if he comes up, but we got him muted right now. Or actually, he's muted right now. So, hey, Duke, if you want to talk, just, you know, do the headset stuff. Get on their Discord with us and chat with us. Stray. Bama Bryant says, anybody playing Stray? You picked it up this morning. I am not playing Stray. I'm going back and forth on whether or not I want to activate my PlayStation Plus thing, you know? Because right now, if I activate it for the $100 or the $150, depending on which tier I go with, it'll be there until 2025. But at the same time, what I read is that I can still stack what I've got. So in other words, I can buy years of PlayStation Plus regular right now to add to it and extend that. So if I put another year on here, I can still pay that $99 or that $150 and get another and go all the way to 2026 if I want to do that. So my point, my whole thing right now is, but once I make that conversion, once I jump into that next tier or highest tier, I can't go back.
Yeah.
I won't be able to continue this stacking sort of thing and then having to pay one price to cover all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So once I make that jump, I can't go back. So it's more of a sense of, let's see how many years I can stack onto this thing and then, you know, then make the jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how far do I want to be having to pay for PlayStation Plus and then the Plus Plus and the whatever it was?
Yeah.
But it was the fact that, because Stray is now offered, I think, as one of the essentials or whatever it's called,
mm-hmm.
on one of those tiers of PlayStation Plus. And I would like to play it. I don't remember what the price for that game is, like just by itself.
Yeah.
But I've heard the PC version isn't having too good of a time with some of the, not necessarily the mechanics, but some of the graphical stuff. The way it plays, and the PS5 is doing pretty good, but it is doing amazing. It had over 62,000 concurrent players on Steam within 24 hours of release. For something that is a single player, very short game, that's a pretty good amount.
$30.
$30?
$30.
Yeah.
Included with PlayStation Plus Extra.
Yeah, one tier above what the basic
mid-grade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so $30 right now. That's about the standard price for a short little playthrough, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how long it is.
Short playthrough, something like that, yeah.
I've heard it's short, but I don't know how short it actually is. And I don't know how short it would be for me playing.
Yeah, I was reading comments on the game, and someone was like talking about someone putting their platinums up in the first one or two days of playing this game. So, dang, might be a little short, but if it's enjoyable,
yeah,
you know, play it. So if it's short like that, I'm thinking... How much replay value does the game have?
That's a good question. I don't know. From everything that I've read, there's no multiplayer involved. There's no different endings that I know of or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's collectibles I think you can find. There's little things like that that you can continue to amass, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So replay value is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good question because... how often am I going to play it?
Yeah.
You know, once I go through the game one time, I don't know.
Yeah, because I would think of like the short titles that are good and well done, I would think have something in there to keep you coming back for more or something.
Right.
Like I say, the replay value, what's in there to keep you playing over and over and over again.
And I don't mind the short titles on things like, Game Pass, where I'm already paying for that, and you know the game's short or whatever. Okay, fine. I beat it. Okay, put it back on the shelf.
Yeah,
with Game Pass and grab something else if that's what I want to do. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Duke, are you there in Discord?
I am.
Hey, man, there you are.
What's going on?
That sounds so good. Oh, I'm always impressed. whenever we use Discord because it's just great.
It sounds like I'm sitting right across from you.
I know. It's wonderful. How's it going, man? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. It seems crazy I used to watch, you know, Staple every Saturday. But now it becomes like, you know, once in a blue moon where...
Yeah, right. That's a lot of things probably in your life now.
Yeah. My wife's got, you know, them corralled and, you know, I got a couple minutes and it's almost bath and bedtime, so...
your gaming is slowed, I imagine.
Not really. So
no,
they still
it hasn't.
Sleep
That's
a
great.
Lot.
Okay.
They still sleep a lot.
And now that you have a Steam Deck, you can continue your gaming and you don't have to be in a separate room.
That's right. And now that I'm working from home permanently, it's like, well, you know, if I got a couple minutes, then you jump on. So,
oh, that's nice. Yeah.
It's one of the silver linings to a worldwide global pandemic. But,
yeah, exactly.
So the Steam Deck, man, I was skeptical about it too because I'm not a handheld guy. I never was. I mean, I had Game Gear back in the day, but that doesn't really count.
Was that your only portable system you ever had? Did you ever have PSP or a Vita?
I did have a Vita, which I bought specifically for Destiny to play remotely, which worked out actually really well.
It did work, didn't it? Yeah, I brought... I did the same thing way back for D1, man. I was sitting upstairs in my little booth back when the studio was upstairs. I was sitting upstairs in my little booth, and I had wired into the home system with the Vita, and I was flying out to the loot cave and just shooting stuff in the mornings.
You could do all that, and it worked really well if you were local, like if you were just doing it on your local network.
Oh, definitely worked it really well in local, yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty much the majority. I still have it, but I never really... My idea behind it was I was going to... power through all the Telltale games, which I thought that platform was perfect for. And I think I did end up playing like maybe The Walking Dead or something, but I didn't end up playing the others. But I had the same kind of recollection with the Steam Deck. I'm like, I have so many casual games that I'm not going to sit at a PC to play. Mm-hmm. So the Deck will, I already own these games, right? Like with PlayStation, I would have to either wait for it to come to PlayStation Plus or rebuy it.
Yep.
And then we get into that whole, how many times do you rebuy a game on 800 different platforms?
I know.
You know, I think I hold the record for Resident Evil 4. But the Deck is perfect because I already own all the games on Steam, and that's really where my giant catalog is. And
yeah,
it works great. And I've already got my money's worth, I think, just by playing through, I think, 3 or 4 Telltale games. And then the game I'm really obsessed with right now, that's very rare for me to buy an early access game. I think it's still in early access, actually, is Vampire Survivors.
Oh, wait. Which
probably
one?
Probably see everybody playing this.
Which one is that? That's not... Is that the one that is very Castlevania-esque and it's only like
that's
30 minutes?
Like, yeah.
Only like 30 minutes of play?
Well, it depends on how deep you get into it because there's just so much to do. There's a lot of unlocks, a lot of characters,
okay.
A lot of levels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I picked this up a couple of months back.
They keep adding to it.
I know. He is. It used to be once you got 30 minutes in, like the Grim Reaper or whatever would be there, and you were that was it. It was end game.
Oh, correct. That's still a staple.
But you can beat him now, right?
You can beat him. Yep. There's an official way because I think people cheesed the game before. I was looking online. I'm like, how the hell do you get to beat this? Because there's 4 of them, I think, or 3.
Oh wow.
3 or 4 of them. And I'm like, how do you get past these guys? And I looked, and someone had found, like, a special spot. You got to stand on, like, one of the levels, and he can't get to you, and you just sit there. But there's a real ending now, and he just keeps adding characters and levels. There was just an update 2 days ago.
Oh, no, he updates it very frequently.
Yeah, but it's just such a great, casual, you know, way to kind of power through and play on your Deck.
It is, yeah. No, well, not on the Deck. I was playing it on PC, but I really, really enjoyed that game a lot, and I just haven't played much of it. But it keeps updating the thing, so
simple too. Like it's just,
Who's like? So when I was playing it, the guy I would always use is Garlic Man. I don't know what his name is, but he always started out. Yeah, he always started out with that ring of garlic around you, which just let you just walk through anything early on. And if your upgrades were good enough, it would let you walk through most of it until, you know, you needed to be careful about how you were moving. But yeah, that's I know he's added more characters than that. It's been a while since I've loaded that thing up.
It's wicked popular on Steam. I'm just going through and I see everybody playing it, you know, because I see all the new achievements pop.
Yeah, I was thinking of, what's that other, V Rising, I think? Is that what that's called?
V Rising's the vampire one. It's a little bit more
RPG-ish, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you build, you're a vampire and you essentially, it's got a crafting element to it as well. Like, you build your home base and you can, like, harvest people to feed on, and it's pretty detailed, and someone really went through a lot of thought, if you were a vampire, like, what you would need to survive and inside your castle, and you can create slaves that basically gather people for you to eat, and then you go out and attack groups of villagers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been interested
in that. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it. I think it's also in early access, I believe. So
it is. Oh wait, is it? Yeah, it is.
I don't. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. So yeah. Hey, we gotta take a break here. Can you hang on?
I can.
Okay. All right. Well, hang on, and whoever's on the phone, which I'm going to guess is Chris, if you will hang on as well, we will come back to you right after this break. Speaking of Stray, we have music from the game Stray. It is a track called Intruder. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Multiversus. Batcave is the name of that track. That's in beta right now, I believe. I know it's available on Steam. You can buy it now on Steam and start playing it. So I guess it's in beta stages, but it's there. So yeah, welcome back to the show. We got plenty of people. We got Duke on Discord. And then we've got music there. We've also got we got two phone calls coming in. So let's go to the phone calls real quick. We got Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Taking it really easy. I got kind of feeling under the weather a couple of days ago, and me and my dad decided to go have a COVID test, and we ended up both being positive. So,
oh man,
yeah, having quite a bit of fun, just taking it easy and recovering and all, so that's that.
Well, I hope that goes well for you. How are you feeling now?
Not too bad, but it's mainly just the drainage and stuff from the respiratory system going to my stomach and trying to keep food in my stomach so I won't get sick with my stomach and all. But other than that, just slow and sluggish and just taking it easy and lounging around the house.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Get better. Be careful. Just rest as much as you can.
Plan on doing it.
Yep. Have you been able to play anything? Probably not. I know that.
We haven't felt like playing anything, but.
Exactly.
Videos on YouTube and stuff like that where the little different devices I have around the house that holds the cell phone so I can just prop back and.
Yeah, nice.
So yep. Just taking it easy and relaxing.
Well, all right, man. Yeah, I know when I had it, I was diagnosed on a Friday, and then that Saturday, I played Destiny's little Halloween event that they had going on. That Saturday morning, I played that just enough to finish it. I actually finished it off that morning, and I said, okay, I'm good. I'm going to go lay down, and I did not go back into that room or mess with that game for like a week and a half or 2 weeks. I just did not. I had no energy to do it. No energy to sit there in front of the computer and play a game. Mm-hmm. I need to be laying down. Wherever I'm at, just lay down. And half the time, I just fall asleep whenever I do that. So, yeah, it was rough. Well, get better soon, dude. Get better, and hopefully you're better next week. Give us an update.
All right. We'll see you later then.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care, man.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Biloxi Gambler, we haven't heard from in a while. Hey, man.
Hey, well, you know, you skipped a week, and then you were busy some other weeks. You're busy this week, too, I understand. But sorry about Chris, man. Good luck.
I know.
To you.
Yeah.
That COVID, from what I hear from people, is really bad. I mean, it takes your energy.
It does. No energy. It zaps you to. I mean, gosh. And even when you're better, even when you don't feel like utter crap anymore, you still can only do like the smallest of things before it's like, I'm winded. I'm too tired.
Like, well, that's why somebody else got in on the call before Chris, because he's running on three wheels now.
Correct.
Now I want to say this before I talk about what I called about. When you review this audio, the on-air part,
yeah,
the Discord from Duke sounds much clearer than yours does from the studio.
Yeah, I know. It sounds really, really good. It does. Discord sounds really good over this thing. So I get you. I totally get you. I don't know.
Absolutely. Sounds jam up. He sounds like he's in the studio, and you and RJ sound like you're calling.
Well, if you ever want to do this, just download Discord and you know.
I looked at it. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Something about passwords. They want to download something on my computer. No, thank you. I don't do any of that.
All right. Well, that's fine too. Phone works for you. That's just fine.
I got stuff on the computer. I don't. You know, I get those stupid calls. You know, where they say, of course, they got an Indian accent, but you know, I say, what's your name? And he says, my name is Ken. And his name's not Ken. And I said, where are you at? And he goes, well, I'm in, oh, the call is because my Microsoft.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, what are you doing?
Has brought down the internet. And he needs me to type in this stuff in my computer, I guess, so he can remotely control the computer, and then that way I don't bring down the entire internet.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never run into this problem before.
Well, that's what he says. And anyway, he's not. That's not his name, and he's not from Lexington, Kentucky. He doesn't know where to get barbecue at, so because he doesn't eat barbecue. Okay, now I called about, I forget who does this, you know, Until Dawn, House of Ashes, Man of Medan,
Supermassive Games?
Supermassive Games.
Supermassive
yeah.
Games.
Yeah. Supermassive Games. Okay, well, I have played, you know, four of them. Until Dawn was the first one.
Yeah.
A Man of Medan, House of Ashes, and Little Hope. Now, what I want to ask you, though, is about The Devil in Me. It doesn't say when it's available or anything, but it's by Supermassive Games.
It is. I think it comes out this October, this fall?
Autumn of 2022.
Autumn of this year, whatever they considered to be autumn.
So they got closer to it.
Yeah.
But I've gone through them, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think RJ said something about Man of Medan last week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be my second favorite.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Until Dawn dropped down to three.
Ooh.
I would give Until Dawn a C. I give Man of Medan a B, and Little Hope. Oh, we don't even want to talk. Oh, it was a wonderful game. It could have been great. I'm not going to give it away.
Okay.
But no, I will say this.
Yeah.
You'll go, you wasted all my time.
You know, I've said that about games before. There's been plenty of game I've played where I've gotten to the end and said, you just wasted so much time. Mm. I say that about Destiny for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't broke open Destiny.
That's fine.
Not something I want to do. Huh?
Yeah, probably not something you want to crack open.
So House of Ashes was that's the best they've done so far.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. House of Ashes was good. When they do that trailer, you know, in the front, well, it's not really a trailer, it's the training video to show you how to do stuff. And I'm like, look, that should have been the video if you did the whole story. And it was really, really good. And then you go through it. And then, you know, another thing they do in this is they give a nod to some of their other products.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I wouldn't doubt that one bit.
So I guess they use some of the grab. Like, I mean, this isn't giving anything away, but in House of Ashes, you know, there's a flashback, and then they're at a diner that is in Little Hope, and in the town of Little Hope.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice way to connect it all.
That's
really
good. You go, wow, this is cool. Anyway, but anyway, that's it. Get back to that guy that sounds good on the phone instead of somebody, I mean, not on the phone, on Discord, rather than me cracking up on a telephone.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Take care.
Take care, man.
All right, Duke, you're up.
Yo.
You're now the host of the show. You take it over from here.
So, Scott, you know, what have you been playing this weekend?
Aside
from Destiny
exactly. 2. Exactly. That's like asking, what are you going to do tonight, Pinky?
Well, you know what you should play. I'll tell you a game you should play.
What?
And it's actually not that far off from that. Well, I guess.
Oh, Deep Rock Galactic?
No. Okay. You should have played that already, but last time I recommended you to play
that.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
No, this is a game. It's actually a 6-year-old game that has come back in a big way.
Warframe?
Bigger.
What is it?
Think bigger.
Think bigger.
Triple A price. Very, very rocky start. Actually, abysmal start. With a studio that has
Anthem.
Probably about 25 people.
I was going to say Anthem.
No,
that's, yeah. I mean, that fits the criteria. A studio has about how many people?
25. So, no, Anthem probably has about 10 times.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, small studio, rocky start, No Man's Sky.
It is No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And what an accomplishment.
And right.
I don't know if you ever played it early and you know, and saw what the game was or what, you know, the shell of the game.
No. I was there for that ride.
I was there for the ride. Title for you.
No. I never played it. I was just there for the ride of watching this game release, mm-hmm. watching the blowback, finding that one dude who went just all the way to the wall with it to some player went as far as he could possibly go. And I have no idea what this was about, but like he found the end of the game apparently mm-hmm. early on when there wasn't supposed to be an end to the game. He found whatever that was. So I can't remember what it was. It was like the end content or something he got to. But regardless, I watched all that stuff. I watched that whole situation happen. I watched the developer, you know, just go radio silent for the longest time until it was time for him to say, because he was just getting buried by hate for the most part. And then the redemption arc on this, not just him, but the studio itself mm-hmm. has been amazing.
Yeah.
The way they have said, all right, we'll fix it. And usually that's empty promises or some kind of stupid band-aid.
Yeah.
Nah, man, they fixed it.
I don't even think they said we'll fix it. I think they just went dark and then had an update and
yeah.
then went dark again. And then had an update, and then they kept doing that. And 6 years later, they just had an update yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only been playing it for about a week at this point.
Was that an update or was that like a content expansion? Because I want to say it was like, I mean, I know it's technically an update, but when you add in so many new gameplay mechanics or new things, it feels more like an upgrade more than it does an update.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. I'm not sure an update's probably, it's almost like free DLC.
Yeah.
If they just keep adding on to the game. So yes, it was content. It was their endurance content upgrade that they
That's what made. It was called. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They released that on the 20th. So 2 days ago, sorry. And it really, but what they've done and what they've created, you know what game now has, you know, all the spotlight's going to be on is Starfield.
Right.
Because if that game comes out and it doesn't have a quarter of the things that No Man's Sky has, people are going to be pissed.
Well, and yeah, I mean, there's already people who are upset about Starfield. About
multiplayer too. I want co-op in that game. I want Bethesda to figure that out, because as much fun as it was building a base in Fallout 4 that nobody else could see but you,
right?
No Man's Sky has done it right, and they've done it so that you can build infinite bases,
mm-hmm.
and you can bring your friends along and show it off. And then, I mean, my friends and I are building a base on a planet together, like across from a lake. Like we each have like a point of a lake, and we can go even when they're not online. We can go over and like run around in their base, and we have it set to edit mode so that we can like change things. So we kind of like play practical jokes on each other. It's awesome. It is. I've waited. I'm happy I waited this amount of time to play it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really read, other than seeing the negative reviews on Steam, which it was like overwhelmingly negative. But they really, it's a game that they, I think, had envisioned from the start and just kind of got caught up with the whole Sony thing. Actually, there's a video on YouTube that if anybody's on the fence about watching this, there's a video made by this guy, internet historian. He's like a New Zealand comic YouTube guy. And he made a video called like the Enjo Denning of No Man's Sky. And it kind of walks through the timeline of how even before when they had the idea, they didn't have 25 people in the studio. It was more like 12.
It was less than that. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. They were coming off that other game that they had minor success with. But anyway, it just kind of walks through the timeline and how they kept getting caught up in the hype, right? The hype train kept pushing yep. things into crazy territory. And, you know, Sean Murray was just a developer, you know, lead developer. He wasn't really a PR.
He
know,
wasn't, but unfortunately
guy.
He got in front of it there. And that was the, you know, they went to him and asked him those questions. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, he said some things that I'm sure he intended, but that just weren't there in the game. And people took him to task over it. But eventually,
actually, I bet you they were in the game, but they couldn't make it to the scope that they needed to.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that stuff's in the game now.
Right.
Everything that he talked about where everybody said, well, where is it? And it wasn't there. It's there now. Almost everything that they ever promised and more is in that game now. It really is one of the most amazing stories in especially if you want to call it basically indie game development, essentially.
That's right. An indie game that got a AAA price tag, right? Like $60 game at launch. And so people have big expectations when you pay that,
yep.
right? They expect, if you're marketing it before, you expect all those things to kind of follow through. And it is fun as hell. I recommend it to people if you've never, before you've been on the fence about playing it, but you can just do anything in it. And I got to tell you, the coolest thing about the game is when you are exploring an infinite universe and you do happen to come across a system that somebody else has discovered and renamed. And that's kind of fun and kind of seeing like if you can try and find the path that they took through that system,
mm-hmm.
because the star map that they give you is three dimensional. So it's not like you can just follow it like you're walking on a road, because you can go up, you can go down, you have, you know, vectors, you can go, you know, in every single infinite direction. So you're trying to find the next star that they jump to. And it's really hard, but it's fun.
Are you still able to, and given that it's been around for 6 years and people have been playing it, is there still stuff out there to explore and to find and to discover?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. No, there's trillions of planet of not planets of systems to explore. I think there's 250 galaxies with a trillion systems to explore.
Wow.
So it's very close to being, you know, unachievably fully explored.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And you're still discovering plants and animals and minerals and elements and all that stuff. That's still a thing. It's all procedurally generated, so it's all completely random wherever you go. And it's fun to kind of build yourself up off a planet into your own starship, which then gravitates to a frigate, right? You get this freighter that mm-hmm. you can basically have an entire fleet, and you can send it to do, you know, expeditions. It's crazy. There's so much to do in this game.
Hmm.
There's a whole in-game economy,
yeah.
crafting system. You can build bases underwater now. There's a sandworm that it's like Dune. It comes out of the ground sometimes. I'm trying to see if you can actually ride it. I heard you could. I think I saw a picture of somebody riding it, but I have no idea how you would begin to because they're so fast and freaky.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot to do. It's if you're into the kind of the dig box, because I mean you can mine out planets, right? To
build yeah.
bases.
I've watched I watched gameplay when it first released because I was very interested in the game. But you know, the blowback that it took, I was like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't jump on this right at the beginning, you know?
Right.
And then the more I held off, the more they kept updating. I was like, okay, good. Well, they're still updating this. So that's great. When they're done, then it'll be a great time to jump in. Well, they haven't stopped updating the thing. Yeah.
No, they haven't. They keep going and they keep adding things. Like the update this week was basically to customize your freighter. So now you can build like a base on your freighter and move and just warp that around the galaxy too now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's just, there's so much. If I'm surprised, like if someone bought this early, I'm wondering if they would be willing to return to it even after these updates. It's more, I bet you it's still going strong because of just players that like, okay, I've never played it, so I'm going to try it finally. And I think they get hooked in that sense.
But. I could easily see. I mean, when Starfield, when they were showing off Starfield stuff with the way you could do it, and I understood the comparisons to No Man's Sky, and you know, when you got in the ship and then he left, and I was like, okay, so they're No Man's Skying this thing, which is what that became now. If you have a system of planets and you can get in your ship and fly from one planet to another planet to a different system, that's called No Man's Skying. Because yeah, I can only think of it.
Because you know what? Scott, there's no loading. Like, unless you're warping into a new system,
yep.
everything you take off from a planet, there's no loading. You drive. You can just come right off from the planet, fly into space, mm-hmm. fly right into your freighter, and there's no loading screen.
But there is loading in Starfield, I believe, right?
There better not be. Because I mean, people are coming from this game into that. They're going to be pissed.
I'm pretty sure the interview, or there was an interview with Todd Howard. And somebody did ask him, is it seamless to go from planet to space? And he said, no. There is a load.
They better figure it out, because even if it's like Mass Effect with elevators or any type of, like, you couldn't fly in Mass Effect, right? Like, you go on your ship and you could just sit there.
Yeah.
And then you could access the star map and then warp again, but you couldn't fly.
You couldn't fly the ship, no.
You know?
No.
You could walk around and talk to people, but you can do that in No Man's Sky. So, you know, they better be taking like little clues for what works and what makes it interesting and fun and seamless, rather than just a bunch of loading screens connecting things together.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that'll
happen. It's Bethesda, so people will buy it and they'll play it just like they have any Fallout or, you know, Oblivion game. But I mean, it just better not be Fallout in space.
In space, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's what you're getting. I'm almost positive that's what you're getting, man. Because I mean, it's like, hey, what if we took this concept but we did it for space? And I think that's exactly where they went with it.
Well, then they have to have co-op. You have to have, and I don't mean co-op doing missions, but at least on the exploration side, if you're going to do that.
That, or they looked at No Man's Sky back when it really said, I think we can do that and probably better. And they came up with all this stuff. And then No Man's Sky was like, well, no, here's what we meant to do. Here's all this stuff. And
you have vehicles.
Yeah, I know.
So you can have a mech in No Man's Sky. So you run around in your mech. You can use jetpacks, all that stuff. You know, it's going to feel, if Starfield's going to feel very limited. And it's going to have a story, and it's probably going to be engrossing. And
Starfield's what, next year? Next February?
My God, that's soon? Really?
Is it? I don't know. I thought it was next year.
I don't know. Whatever the date is, it's going to be delayed. So just right. Count on that.
Starfield. What do we have on a date here? Release date. Release date. Initial release says 2023. It doesn't have anything. Yeah, nothing beyond that. So, yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky, cross-platform.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is.
And I've done it with a guy, a friend of mine that's got a PS4. We play on Steam, and he plays PS4, and it works seamlessly.
Wow. Yeah, you're doing a great job of selling it, man.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it was when I came off New World, I needed a game, you know, to kind of fill that New World. Well, I don't want to get into New World. The game's a travesty in itself. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a couple months now because I kind of got out of it. But this has always been. I purchased it on a sale. It still sells for $60 on Steam.
Yeah.
But I purchased it on a sale. Had it installed, and finally. Booted it right up after New World, and couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
And that's all I got for tonight.
Yeah. I was looking at prices. Duke, on PS4 store, it's still $60.
No Man's Sky is?
No Man's Sky still says $60 on the PlayStation store. Steam has
it's $60 on Steam, but it's on sale right now.
Yeah, it's on sale right now until August 1st. Yeah, it's $30 right now. 50% off right now.
Yeah, yeah. They usually do that. Whenever they do an update, they usually throw a sale price out there. Has it been lower than that? I don't know. It's on a browser at the house where I can look at games on Steam, and it can tell me like, hey, it was lower during this sale, or this is the typical low price that it hits, that sort of thing. One of those extensions you have on your browser or something that can tell me that stuff.
I got it for $31 back in December, so that was probably the Christmas sale.
Okay. Right, yeah. So it's probably around the same thing.
Well, let me take that back. Apparently there's two editions on PS4. The PS4 by itself says 60, but it says the PS4 PS5 is 30 on sale until August 4th. Doesn't say what the difference in the editions is. I don't know what it is, but hey, if you can get it for 30 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Have at it.
Okay.
I wonder if that's like a glitch or something, because if it's a PS4 PS5... Sounds like that's one of those games that you can play back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you buy it and you get like a free upgrade for PS5.
Yeah.
That's possibly what that is. And the fact that you can, that's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking it up.
There's a few games like that, I remember.
Yeah.
Like the Spider-Man game, I think, got a free upgrade.
Yeah. When was the last time you played you said your PlayStation 4 is in your closet?
I haven't even installed my PlayStation 4 in my new house when I moved here in the summer of 2020.
Okay.
So it's been a while. I canceled PlayStation Plus. I wasn't even using it.
Nah, I got you. I can understand.
I'm building a studio in the basement for my wife because she's doing this. She's working from home too now. She does like fitness classes, but she does them remotely.
Yeah.
In the living room. And that's where my TV is. So I'm not going to move all our equipment around and then try and play PlayStation in there. So until I get my studio, her studio, finished in the basement, then I can have my living room back.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Okay. You'll be back.
I'll be back. Yeah. I mean, Last of Us might get me back.
Interesting that that's pulling you in. You played it already, right?
I played it twice.
Yeah.
I played it on PS3, and then I played it on PS4. With the remaster, because people forget about it had a PS4 upgrade remaster.
It did, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself jumping in on this thing.
It's just one of those games that really, like, I was thinking about the handful of games in my life that have this kind of aura around them where I drop everything for, like Half-Life 2 is one of them.
No.
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, I know the ones you're talking about. Myst is that for me.
So, Last of Us, the first game, it just, it resonated with me on a level that it hit all the right notes. The second one was a little bit darker and hard to get through, but the first one It's grim, but there's a lot to like in that.
The first one was it was one of those perfect things that it didn't need. I mean, I'm fine with the sequel that it got, and it doesn't bother me that there's a sequel, considering I still have the first game. Mm-hmm. I can still make the first game stand alone for me.
Yeah.
You know, as it is what it is, and it was just really, really well done.
Yeah,
it's really just a really well done.
It was a very good entry story, man.
Like, it's got those guitar strings.
I know, yeah.
And that does a lot for me too. Oh man, I'm thinking about it right now. Actually, I'm thinking more about, because my wife and I watched Uncharted, the movie, last night.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, why doesn't this movie have the theme from Uncharted in it?
It does for like, it has like one section. And I can't remember what section it is. You hear a little bit of Nate's theme popping through there.
The very end.
Yeah.
Like they should have played it with the big reveal. I'm not going to say it, spoilers, but.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's like a reveal towards like the end. And I'm like, oh, here's where we're going to hear it. And they just play like some junk Hollywood thing.
Yep. I know.
And then, you know when it was? It was when he put on the gun holster.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. You're right.
The iconic look for Nate. That's
I was like, what? The gun holster is like, okay, fine. This is what it was. It kind of reminded me of the Tomb Raider reboot. At the very end of that game, she gets two guns. It's like, oh, okay. She's going to use two guns now, because it's like, oh, this is it. So this is the iconic thing of that. This is what makes the series what it is that she dual wields these guns, and you don't get those until the end of this first game to reboot the series or whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. And so in the movie, they're thinking, oh, no, he's not really who he is until he puts on the gun hold. No, it's no. He's not sheriff.
They could use that theme in a bunch in that movie, and they didn't. Like, music is everything when it comes to, like, a, you know, perfectly wrapped story in a game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see it everywhere. Even with like Metal Gear Solid, like in Metal Gear Solid 4, when you go back to Shadow Moses and reference all of that music and those iconic dialogue, that was another moment in gaming history where I was like, I had to like think about what was going on the screen.
See, but I only remember this from like Jeremy and James talking about it on the show, because mm-hmm. I didn't play. I think I played Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation, but only a little bit, because I was just like, the mechanics were escaping me and I wasn't putting any kind of effort into it. Mm-hmm. I skipped a couple of generations of gaming. I completely, you know, wasn't there.
Yeah.
And PlayStation was one of those times where mm-hmm. I wasn't there. So I missed Metal Gear Solid. I kind of caught back up to it later on, and then Metal Gear Solid 3 or Solid 2, and then the GameCube version. And there's all these things that released. I really didn't play a Metal Gear Solid game until 4.
Yeah, I think you played Solid like I did Resident Evil. I think the first Resident Evil I played was Code Veronica on Dreamcast, and I went backwards to play the original.
Yeah,
I think Metal Gear Solid. I think I got it early. I got into it early on. Then I went backwards again to get to the Metal Gear. Solid on
that's
that
impressive,
yeah.
RJ, because that's really tough to do when like the leaps in technology of a game
to go back and play.
Try and go backwards.
Yeah,
it's not always easy.
So I went from Dreamcast to Saturn. It was that special edition of Resident Evil that I got from the Capcom's website, and I got a couple of those, and I started playing that.
So, was that the one that had like a cartridge attached to it? The Saturn, like one of those. Was that a release for that type of? Technology or something? No, was there something plugged into it?
The Saturn had a RAM booster slot for certain games. I think Imports was like that, but it didn't have one for Resident Evil. Not the one that I got anyway.
Okay.
But it had a special edition of some type of different type of enemy they put in there for some reason. I don't know what the deal was, but I was able to play through it with that. But there have been some titles on the Saturn where it had that RAM boost pack that was needed to let it play through properly.
Got it.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
good
Duke.
For you going back and playing those, because man, I would have been like,
we're behind on a break here. We got to take a break. So you want
to hold anyway though, because the bath time's calling. Not for me, but for my kids. But,
all right, enjoy your bath time.
Good talking to you guys.
Take care, buddy.
Take care now.
Bye bye. All right, so we're going to take a break here. If you want to get in, call us 334-272-9228 is the number. Jump on our Discord there. Sound like Duke? Why not? Last week we were talking about Driver, the video game, which I did find
You found it. Okay.
Well, what I tell you what I found. I found the disc. I have the PC game disc. Mm-hmm. I have the jewel case with the disc inside it. I don't have a disc drive on my PC anymore. We don't build them that way anymore. But I don't. I don't even know. Thinking about the case that I have, the computer that I have set up, there's no place for you to put a drive that takes that disc drive or any type of drive like that. Mm-hmm. It has places for hard drives. That's it. Not a place where you could put in a some kind of readable device thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. You'd have to USB it and then put it in and make it happen.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, I found the disc. I doubt it would even load or run on here, but I did find a couple of websites who have the game available to download. It's basically free at this point. Nobody has this game for sale anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you can download that, but then you've got to download some sort of update patch or something in order to make it run on more modern systems.
Yeah.
So that part I have not done yet, but I keep getting closer and closer. The web page is still up, so I can go find it and download it. But yeah, I found it. Anyway, here's music from that game. It's just the theme song from Driver. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Endling. It is the theme song for the game. Something I found on YouTube is so you can see the orchestra playing the instruments, doing the whole piece here. Got a few minutes left, and there's a couple of other things in news to cover. You know, we were talking about Stray earlier on. Apparently, there are... shelters that are streaming Stray,
mm-hmm.
and raising money that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fantastic idea to help shelters with whether they be cats, dogs, animals of any kind, just with shelters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of praise for that game. I don't know if there's praise for it in just like it looks really good. It plays very well. I don't necessarily know if there's praise for the story in it or anything like that. I'm not sure. But I'm interested. I'm curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. I never had a Neopet, but apparently they were hacked. Neopets got hacked, and data for almost 69 million accounts appears to be up for sale. So if you ever had a Neopet... with an account. I don't remember Neopets. I had Tamagotchi. Is that what that was? Remember the...
Tamagotchi, yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? I remember... I had those.
All the reason I remember is for a bad reason because someone was paying attention to it instead of the road.
Oh, yeah.
And killed someone. I'm sorry, but that's the only reason I remember that name.
I had one... Oh, God. This would have been back in... What? Like 7th grade? 8th grade or something? I can't remember. It goes way, way back. And that was it. I don't remember much about it, but yeah. That's what I thought Neopets were, but maybe they're something completely different. I'm not exactly sure. Mm-hmm. Ubisoft has canceled their Ghost Recon Frontline game as well as their Splinter Cell VR game. Well, what a surprise. They canceled a Splinter Cell game? Well, that's par for the course. You're not going to release another one. I've already asked you to do that, and I'm going to keep counting the days until you do. Let's see, The Animal Shelters, Last of Us, and Uncharted, the co-director. He has opened up a new studio. He had left, this is Bruce Straley, I believe. He had left Naughty Dog after, I think it was just before the release of Last of Us 2, or mid-development of Last of Us 2, I think he left. Mm-hmm. Not on any kind of bad terms from what I read, but just that he had left. And he stayed silent for a good while there, and now he's opened up a new studio. Xbox consoles got Discord voice chat, so now people on Xbox will be able to log into Discord and talk to people who are on Discord, which is great, which is exactly how we played Sea of Thieves mm-hmm. way back when, because James and Matt were playing Sea of Thieves on PC, and I was playing it on Xbox. I think Jeremy and James and Matt, they were both playing on PC. Mm-hmm. And I was playing on my Xbox. And so I hooked up my Discord through my phone, mm-hmm. had my headset on there to talk to them while we played the game together. Because it was cross-play, but we couldn't chat with each other. For whatever reason, we couldn't talk to each other using the in-game stuff.
Right.
So we did Discord. So that's how it worked for us. Yakuza 8. Apparently they were... first few glimpses of that game shown on a video that was showing off Sega's offices. And somebody spotted Yakuza 8 on one of the screens in the office. Mm. So I haven't played those, but I guess you have, maybe? Or yeah. Know of them?
Know of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But last one I had was 6, but I think Like a Dragon, they called 7, I guess.
Probably. Or at least they're probably calling this 8. They don't know that it's going to be titled 8. It could get a subtitle
just a placeholder.
Yeah, for right now, exactly. Yeah. It's just, okay, that's the next one, is apparently what it is. So, Lego has announced an Atari 2600 to build. It looks really nice. I was the Nintendo thing, just for the fact that you build an actual CRT television set to go along with it, was really, really a nice touch. I liked it, but for whatever reason, I did not get in on it. This little thing here, this Atari 2600 made out of Legos, has so much going on in it, but beneath the surface. So, like, you can build the console, and you can build the cartridges to go into the console. You can put the cartridges into the console, but you can also build, like, a little diorama for each of the games that come with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, if I could, if you click on the, did you see the story in the news thing there?
Is it, yeah.
Yeah, if you click on that and scroll down, you will see that there's a scene that you build inside the console that can flip up, and it's like somebody playing the console on their TV in their basement mm-hmm. with shag carpet. I'm not kidding. Yeah, when you scroll down, you'll see that thing. It flips up, and there is... it doesn't get bigger for me. I was hoping it would make it bigger. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like the carpet, the green carpet from being in the basement. He's playing it on his TV, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then if you scroll down further, you'll see each game cartridge can have a little diorama built on top of it. So Centipede, mm-hmm. Asteroids, and Adventure all have this little thing that you can build onto the cartridges themselves.
Yeah.
It's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
I never had an Atari 2600. Did you?
I did.
I never had one.
When I played two games I played the most on that was River Raid and Yars' Revenge.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a good time with both of those.
I want to say, I think it was my cousin that had one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see him very often, but when I did, God, if it was an Atari 2600, and I think it was a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't basketball. It was like... Bird versus Magic, you know, Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson or something. It was a one-on-one game.
2600?
I thought so. I don't know. I really don't know.
Because
It's going back.
Because back then, the titles were just very simple. Like, you know, like I said, Centipede,
basketball, Adventure, Basketball. Football, Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I know. Let's see. One-on-one. Bird. Magic. Atari.
Hmm.
Let me see. Oh, no, it's Dr. J versus Larry Bird. One-on-one, Dr. J versus Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was for... It was the Atari 7800.
Oh, okay. Right.
Sorry.
Because the one for the 2600 was it was just called Basketball in 78.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the one it was. One-on-one. Okay. That was the game that we played.
Mm-hmm.
God, it was horrible. At the time, it was like, oh, it's a game. It was a distraction from, you know, everything else that we were doing. So,
yep.
Anyway, they're a really cool looking console. I'm glad they're doing it. We don't have it. I'm trying to see if we have a price. It doesn't look like we have a price.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we got a price. $250. Or $240. I'm sorry. 2,532 pieces. $240. But yeah, it's just really, it's really nice. Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, thought I'd bring that up.
Yep.
If you're interested in it.
Hmm. So. I was looking up Yar's Revenge on Steam. I see the remake of it, but
yeah,
yeah, kind of a mixed reviews right now. So, don't know if that's the game itself or probably nostalgia kicking in for some folks. I guess I don't know.
Could be. I have no idea. Don't know anything about it.
Hmm.
Ghost of Tsushima.
You almost had it.
I know. Ghost of Tsushima.
But it's been a while.
It has.
It's been a while, yeah.
Has sold nearly 10 million copies,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty good for that little game. Little game. It's not really a little game.
Triple A, but yeah, we get it.
But it was a departure, I think. It was. I always looked at it when they were showing that game off. I always looked at it as like, wow, because who was it? Sucker Punch?
Sucker Punch.
Is that who it was? Who was the developers on that?
Hmm.
I want to say it was Sucker Punch.
Hmm.
Which are the guys who did... Guerrilla Games went from Killzone to Horizon.
Oh, Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch went from Infamous, I think? Hmm. Or is that Insomniac? God.
No, Sucker Punch Productions.
What were they working on? Sucker Punch. Give me the Sucker Punch games. I'm sorry I have to do this, but I have to because my brain goes, hey, you know this. Why are you, you know, why do you not know this? Yeah, Infamous. Sucker Punch did Infamous.
Mm-hmm.
They did Sly Cooper, and then they did Infamous, Infamous 2, Infamous Festival of Blood, Infamous Second Son, Infamous First Light.
Mm-hmm.
They did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They did 5 Infamous games. How many Sly Coopers? They do 3 or 4?
I don't know how many Sly Coopers there are.
I think they did 3 at least.
Mm.
And then 5 Infamous. And then out of nowhere, here's Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
And
they hit it out the park with that one.
I mean, that's some sort of confidence, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
to say just to stray so far from your path, essentially. Mm-hmm. And do what they did and do it so well with what they did. I mean, I'm just looking, their website has just screens of the game going by in motion. And I'm watching you ride a horse through those fields and everything else. It just looks so good. I mean, but
beautiful scenery all around, man.
Yeah, but it's such a stray, just something that they normally wouldn't have done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Guerrilla Games going from Killzone to Horizon, which is a completely different game.
Mm-hmm.
Than what they're used to, and they were able to do that, and be successful with it, because it could have gone bad. The reception could have been bad, but no, mm-hmm. it went great.
So yeah, good enough to get Player's Choice Awards.
Yeah. It is, yeah, and probably a sequel at this point. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, if they're really, I haven't finished the game, so I don't know how this game ends at all. So.
Yeah, there's some things I gotta finish in that game as well myself. Yeah, Be a good time to get back into it, actually.
Yeah, I say that. I also want to get back into God of War because that comes out in November. Duke is selling me on No Man's Sky.
It's on sale.
And it's on sale.
It's on sale, too.
So. You know? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
$30 for millions, what do you say, billions of universes right now?
Trillions.
Trillions of universes for
$30.
Trillions.
There's 250 galaxies, I think, which just has a massive amount of planets in each of them or something. I said that. I could be wrong. It could be a lot more than just
trillions of spaces to go to for 30
Could be 250,000 galaxies, not 250 galaxies alone.
Yeah.
It's a lot, though. It is a lot in that game. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we're about done here. We got to wrap it up and go. So, thanks, everybody, for joining us. I want to thank Soldier Boy for calling in, Chris for calling in, Biloxi Gambler for calling in, Duke for joining us on Discord. Thank you guys so much. Everybody in the chat room, by the way, as well. We have Alistra, Bama Brian, Commander Root, Extra More, Kitty Nah, Lethal Migraine, and Steven Van Damme hanging out in the chat room. We had Duke Frugum earlier as well. So thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Chris, get better, buddy. Beat the COVID and get better. And we will talk to you next week. I leave you here with music about a game that came up last week on the show and has come up on a couple of times on the show. It's an old PC game called Phantasmagoria. Mm-hmm. This is the title track of the game. We will see you guys next week.